sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 120, If You Don't Got a Gun. If you don't got a gun,
message,
it's all right. If you're making legal money, it's all right. If you gotta keep your clothes on, it's all right. If you ain't got a cellular phone, it's all right. And your wheels don't spin, it's all right. And you got to wear them jeans again, it's all right. Yeah, if you tried, oh well, it's all right. MCs, stop the beef, let's sell, it's all right. Hey, welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzard, a.k.a. Beat Up Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. You know about those a.k.a.s? I'm really just letting you know the many ways you can contact me. So, Be Black, Be Blizzard on Twitter, Beat Up Black on Beat Up Black on TikTok, and Shut Up Podcast, Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com. Le Grand Papa B, that was just me being extra. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to welcome you new listeners, especially those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake. But I got to give you a heads up. I got to give you a fair warning. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. It weighs a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Who's your blues up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 22nd, 2023. What is it, 7:10, 7:19 p.m. On the Sabbath day? You can tell it's fall. It's black out there, man. It's like dark. It's already... That's the part about fall I don't like. It's already dark. Whatever. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That was annoying. I'm using my little mini PC, and doesn't matter. Only detail is... I guess I must have rebooted the machine, and all kinds of things are popping up. So what you just heard is that bling 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 is an app saying, "Hey, I'm ready to be used." You know, you shut me off, but you know, in case you needed me, I'm available. But yeah, okay. Again, new listeners, because returning listener. Oh, actually, hi, new listeners, and welcome back, returning listeners. Let me break it down for you new listeners. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, three acts, if you will. First one is the introduction, which I'm doing now. Second part is use a random thought. And last is final thoughts. And in the introduction, I like to do shit like play the theme, welcome people to the podcast, warn white people that, hey, you know, this is not the podcast if you suffer from white fragility, this is not the podcast for you. You've been warned. This is just my way of knowing what emails to delete, what feedback emails to delete. It's like, okay, they were warned. Click, 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 whatever. Also for liability reasons. Second, I like to do shit like start off with a quote that I filed during the week. Yeah, no dates to remember. I just haven't been paying attention. Usually I like dates to remember, like what happened this week type of dates. But in this case, I'm only going to share a quote. And this one is, again, shout out to my man, Talon Macy, who I stole this quote from. Not stole, but he shared this quote. And it hit me. And it goes, I've never been a type. Okay, he's not the author of the quote. He's just a spoken word artist who shares quotes on his social media. And they poignant. Is that the word I'm looking for? Poignant? They hate me. Anyway, this one goes, I never been a type. I always been a frequency. You got to tune in to really feel me. Yeah. All right. You know what? I will share a thought about it in Random Thoughts. So let's take a quick break so we can jump to the next act. All right. So here we go. You didn't ask, but my room smells like marijuana. I don't know who's been smoking marijuana in my room, but they need to stop it. What's that? I live alone. Yeah, I do. Sorry. No, I'm really commenting on the fact that I'm drinking coffee. You know, I'll explain why I'm drinking coffee at this time of night. All right. Okay, so what I like about this, I've never been a type. Always been a frequency. You got to tune in to really feel me. What I appreciate about this quote is it reminded me how ever since I've been in therapy, I've been on a journey into getting to know and being my real self. You would think I would have figured that shit out a long time ago, but no, that's my battle. My journey right now. I'm on a journey into self-acceptance, getting to know the real me. Getting to know and being the real me. And in that, I'm realizing probably a mistake that I made as a child. Well, I didn't know better. Is thinking that, you know, I blame Christianity for this, but everyone should be my friend. Or I should be everyone's friend. I guess I was trying this whole be more like Jesus shit. And, well, here's what I'm saying. It's like, that's what I'm realizing. I'm understanding the point I'm making is, yes, I did have the right idea of being more loving to the world, being kind, showing kindness to everyone. But the part that I was missing in that loving is boundaries. I grew up in a household that didn't understand the concept of boundaries. Or maybe they did, but they did a shitty job explaining it to me. And yeah, for me, I thought boundaries were just that thing. Imposing boundaries on people was a mean thing to do. Like saying no when you really want to say, saying yes when you really want to say no. Anyway, so boundaries. With that said, I'm realizing I'm sticking to the quote, focus me. That's why I'm drinking coffee. I'm realizing it to help me focus. I've never been a type. It reminds me of Nas's line. He goes, I got no game. Some girls just understand my story. So I've never been a type. I've always been a frequency. You got to tune in into what I'm realizing is that I'm a frequency, meaning I'm not going to get along with everyone, which is okay. That also includes, which is weird, family members. There are some people, if I could do it all again, I would teach my younger self to be more selective about who he lets in and who to keep at bay. Right? Like some folks, you got to impose a firewall too. Because I don't have enough energy as a human being to broadcast on every frequency. Meaning I needed to accept the fact that some people are going to find me weird. To some people, I was going to stand out. To some people, I was just going to be, you know, not cool, stupid, weird, you know, all kinds. Like, to, there's another quote by Talal Basie. He says, whether you see my horns or my wings depends on your disposition. And that's about it, is some folks are just not going to fuck with you. And it was just, I should have accepted that. I just didn't accept. Anyways, I just realized it. The more I get to know myself, the more I'm realizing that I just so happen to be in a category of human being that's got to be very careful about who they let into their lives, says the guy on the podcast, saying sensitive shit. Well, that's the thing. You know what? That's the thing. It's because a lot of the conversations or a lot of the things that I say on this podcast are things that I've tried to say in front of people, and it was like never, it was never processed. It was never taken in the way I intended for it to be taken in. And because this the person was, and then I found myself defending myself because this person would take it in not the way that I wanted to take it. And I find myself defending myself or arguing a point that I wasn't even trying to make in the first fucking place. It's one of those things that if you know, you know. You'll understand. If you've been in this situation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's, I'm trying to find an example. Because really, I wish this is one of those points that, this is one of those points I wish I could make myself understand. I could make others understand. But the truth is, those who know, know. And I don't have to explain it past that point. Like, ever been in a situation like you, make a point. The person, the other person receives a point, your point, distorts it, or because of their worldview, distorts the point. Hey, a perfect example. Free Palestine. Now I'm talking to a person who's like, oh, so you're anti-Semitic. You want Israeli kids to die. Is that what you're saying? And blah, blah, blah. And then, because of that accusation, because of my hurt feelings, I spend my time going, oh, I love Jewish people. Some of my favorite heroes are Jewish, like Jesus. You know what I mean? Like shit, like I'm arguing that and completely forgot the point that I was just trying to say. What's going on in Palestine is fucked up. Maybe that would have been my initial point. But anyway, okay, hold on. Let me back up. All this to say that the more I get to know myself, the more I'm realizing that I'm a frequency and that it's okay that I don't have the, as a human being, I don't have the capacity to broadcast on every frequency. I'm a unique frequency that some folks will get. And that's also kind of like the hope with this podcast, that those who can tune in, oh my God, fuck, I love this quote even more. Those who are able to tune in will feel me. Damn. You know, that reminds me of people on dating profiles. I'm not a big fan of dating profiles. Because I have this doubt that the person that I'm after, if I was dating, right? But the person that I'm looking for, it's not that they don't do dating profile. It's more, like, I'm cocky enough to say they wouldn't do dating profile. No, it's more, it's like, I don't know. Something about, you're looking for real love. You're looking for a real partner. And I don't see dating profile being, I don't know. You know, I guess it's a really fucked up game of luck. Now that I think about it, kind of like the kind of people I'm trying to attract with this podcast, it's a game of luck. What you don't realize is that I'm doing a lot of thinking in my head right now. I'm having a conversation in my head, and I'm just thinking out loud, and it's making a lot of sense that I've just linked my attempts to grow an audience, my journey into connecting to an audience, I'm comparing it to being on a dating profile, and you're one of those people looking for a serious relationship, right? And you're one of those people looking for a serious relationship and you're starting out with a dating profile. And of course, you're going to get a lot of like, ugh. Time wasters. But here's hoping at some point you find what you were looking for. Seeking, you shall find. Ain't that a bitch? All right, okay. All right. Yo, that's a dope-ass quote. What time is it? Okay, let's go. All right. You know what? I don't have news and random thoughts. Check it out, right? I don't have a lot of news and random thoughts. You can blame the conflict in Palestine, Israel and Palestine for that shit. Okay, I'm trying to be funny. The last three episodes, Palestine was on my mind. And I'm tempted to make Palestine a segment on this podcast. Or the conflict, that, or Free Palestine, a segment on the podcast. Or call it Peace in the Middle East. I remember back in the early days of hip hop, we would say Peace in the Middle East. Yeah, we didn't really, well, I mean, we kind of meant it, but it was a cool thing to say. Sorry, my point is, usually when I'm finding items to talk about and use in random thoughts, it's articles, it's something that popped up in my social media news feed, or maybe a conversation that I, random conversation that I had, and then it becomes an item for news and random thoughts. But these past particular weeks, all I've been focused on was what's been going on in, like, making sense of what's going on in Palestine and making sense out of the conflict. And so all this to say that I only have one item that's not related to Palestine. So I'll start with that, and then I will, and then I will end with what else I, my usual stuff. All right. So first one, it's called, I labeled it Something Jesse Wu Said. You know what? And I'm just going to play the clip and then comment from there. All right. Yeah, let me close this. Let me go here. All right. So Jesse Wu explains why women would rather date hood niggers over the good guy. Okay. And then, you know, I'll just play the quote. And she was on, what is this called? It's On Site. That's the name of the podcast. Oh, yeah. I guess so. All right. So hit refresh and. By the way, Jesse Wu is a comedian, Haitian comedian. So here we go. I think she got a lot of flack for this shit, but here we go.
To the hood nigga, because the hood nigga already going to go above and beyond when he comes to a girl like me, because he's going to appreciate what I bring to the table versus a good guy who knows he has all these options. He's going to take me for granted. So I'll just go to the hood nigga who going to, you know what I'm saying, take me on the adventure I deserve.
Jesse Wu explains why women would rather date hood niggas over a good guy. The hood nigga will appreciate me, what I bring to the table, and over a good guy with lots of options. So, I won't lie, man. I'm sure she's getting a lot of flack. She's an internet celebrity, right? She's, I would hate to be in her shoes where you just say, I'm sure she was being sincere when she said that. It's just her worldview, and had no idea that a lot of people would be looking at her funny for that statement. You know, I'm just gonna Google Jesse Wu, see if any follow up to this. She's a pretty woman. Hold on a second. All right, okay, yeah, okay. I will get to what she said. I'm trying to see if there's a okay. Whatever. Okay. First, I heard the sound, and I was like, poor Jesse Wu. But it's one of those things that she's going to have to figure out for herself. Or maybe the point she's making is accurate, but the way she explained it isn't accurate. But I want to more focus on the idea of, well, first, I'm going to say, whatever. Do you, Jesse Wu, here's hoping you'll see it differently later, or here's hoping things work out for you, right? I'm not here to criticize what she says. But what I want to bring up is this concept of this idea of you're dating. Okay, you're a heterosexual person. Because I'm speaking about what I know, right? But you're a heterosexual person trying to date. But this concept that there is a percentage. So you're trying to date, right? And there's a available option out there. Okay, if you're heterosexual, you want the opposite sex, right? But within that demographic of the opposite sex, there's a portion you can't touch because one, they're taken, two, they're not your type, but three, and this is, I'm not sure if this is a myth or the idea that they are out of your league. That's how I'm processing what Jesse Wu said. Like, it's interesting for me that Jesse Wu, I guess, sees the hood nigga as the best I can do. She didn't say it like that, but to her, the good guy is got plenty of options. Well, okay, here's the thing. When it comes to good and bad guys, I don't know about that. I don't think that applies anymore, good and guy, but I think it's more what you feel you deserve. Because there's a lot of people going out dating and they keep attracting shitty human beings in their relationship. And the reason they do that is because something in their psyche tells them, that's all I'm good for. That's all I deserve. I've been through that shit. Man, I got one ex. I still can't get myself to forgive myself for dating that one. For dating her. Sure, that's a shot against her, but it's more a shot against myself. In the idea that... I remember it was so bad. I was so angry. I had to talk to a therapist about it, right? I was just like, how the fuck could she do this to me? And pretty much my therapist opened my eyes up to the idea. My therapist at the time, because different than the one I'm with now. Anyway, my therapist at the time said, got me to realize that, bro, you can't get mad at her. You invited her in. You're the one who said, yo, that's what I want. That's what I deserve. That's all I'm good for. Like, on day one, you saw the red flags and you said, you know what? I can't do better. Beggars can't be choosers. And you accepted it. You accepted her and she became your, and you convinced yourself she was your one and only. Anyway, after she made me realize that, yo, I've been cursing this woman out, only to realize that all this shit is my fault. I'm the one who opened the door and said, hey, woman, please fuck up my life. Please fuck up this portion of my life. All this because you got some good pussy. Yeah, no. I'm trying to get back to this concept of, it's going to be a conversation I'm going to have with my therapist. The concept of, is it true that some people are out of your league? Or is that a myth? Or is that something we created? You know, I've met men who told themselves that, yo, fuck that. I can get any woman that I want. And that was a sign of a good self-esteem. I can get any woman that I want. I'm like, technically, I don't think that's true. Because you're implying that you're compatible with everyone. Right? But to them, those kind of men there's no such thing as a woman that would intimidate them. At least that's the idea. There was no such thing as a woman who is so accomplished that they would like, oh, fuck that. I'm worried she might reject me. Nah, she can be Beyonce. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna shoot my shot. Wait, single Beyonce, of course. At least that's the impression that they gave us. And I remember me, and I would show up with, and I would say shit like, I don't know. I think I would have those, she's out of my league attitude, and I was a chump. I'm like, what are you, a sucker? What the fuck? How dare you? Like, to them, it was a bad thing that I allowed myself to feel inferior to a woman. You know what? Okay, let me be careful. Is it that they thought I was feeling inferior to a woman, or just that I didn't have the belief in myself? Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I guess I could have Googled this shit, but I do remember I watched a movie called a long time ago. She's Out of My League, and it was a rom com, by the way. And yeah, of course it's a rom com, and basically some dorky kid hooks up with this hot chick, and cause she's out of that's the whole movie about how she's out of our league, and of course she fucks it up, and then and she was like, see, that's why. Whatever, but she's out of my league. Look, all I'm saying is I grew up with this idea of hot chicks. what do you call that? Hot chicks, two rated. Oh, she's a 10. She's a 7, right? And you're a 6. Or a 6 should stay with, you know. I grew up with this. Yo, even my, I'm thinking of that Simpson quote. If you don't watch The Simpsons, whatever. Yes, I do watch The Simpsons. Oh, my God. And Grandpa talking to, Grandpa Simpson talking to Homer. When Homer, yes, it's the episode where Homer discovers, finds Marge for the first time. And his dad, Homer's dad, is giving him advice about, what the fuck? You trying to go after her? Your whack ass is trying to go after this bad bitch, this dime piece? And he goes, son, don't overreach. Go for the dented car, the dead-end job, the less attractive girl. I blame myself. I should have had this talk with you a long time ago. Yo, when I was a kid, my dad, and I'm sure he meant, I mean, he just didn't know any better. But my dad said, bro, he didn't say if I was you. Basically, he hinted or oh, damn, not again. Hold on. The battery on my headphones are dying. Damn it. Not again. Anyway, yeah. He was like, if I was you, I would not date a woman with a degree. Because I didn't have one. Like, for him, based on his shit, that's how, for him, that's what out of his league was. Yeah, but don't date a woman who's, like, smarter than you or is more educated than you because, you know, you ain't bringing shit to the table. But I'm sure that's what his belief was. You know, stay within your class. She's a city girl. You're a country guy. She's rich. You're broke. You know, like shit like that. Like a Tyler Perry movie. You're dark skinned. Stick to dark skinned chicks. You know what I mean? And like he had those notions. So I grew up with it. Anyways, it just, no, it's not a Haitian thing. Cause sorry, I was just connected to the fact that Jesse Wu was Haitian. And, but it's more, her comments made me realize that she has this idea of, because I thought it was just a man thing, but it's interesting that she's like, good guys are like this, these great things, these are high up on the echelon with all these options, and poor her, she's got to do with a hood guy, probably with a criminal record, who's probably going to beat her, who's probably going to steal money from her. You know, it's like, I don't deserve to find someone I can share happiness with, who I can share happiness. You know, this idea that I don't deserve, you know what? It comes down to the idea of I don't deserve to be happy. Or maybe I do deserve to be happy, but I can't convince myself that I can be with someone I can share that happiness with. Look, I'm just saying, there's people out there dating. Okay, I should focus on myself, but I'm familiar with the notion of staying in your lane. Now, I guess define your league, B. Because there are women. Okay, all my exes, their only fault, I could say, we're not being mean, excuse me. Their only fault was incompatibility. Bottom line was incompatibility. all except one. That's bitterness talking, right? No, all of them. You know, good people. We'd probably be good friends. But the relationship just caused us to be like, yeah, fuck that. I didn't know, or I didn't properly understand the concept of compatibility. So I can understand, as long as you're compatible, there's no such thing as out of your league. Maybe you should just be, you're compatible or you're not compatible. But this concept of, like, I don't think I could be with a type A personality, because I'm not a type A personality. Is that limiting myself? I don't know. I'm exploring a notion that I've had since childhood, the concept of staying in your lane, and within the dating pool, within the dating pool, there's a portion on that dating pool who are outside of my league, and I should stay away. It's not going to work out. You're not going to have anything to bring to the table for these people. That's interesting, eh? That's, Anyways, maybe the more I get to know myself, the less the concept of out of your league will. I'm not saying that I'm a Mac and go after every woman, but it's more the idea. Okay, let me put it this way. If Cupid was real, if there's Cupid, right, and then and presents this woman with all the right criteria that I know would work out for me, but if I found out that, what, she's from a rich family, yeah, that's not going to work out. Out of my league. Holy shit, she's a dime piece? Out of my league. You know, all these things make, what's this? She's built schools in Africa? Fucking out of my league. How many books did you read? Out of my, you know. I have a friend, she was telling me how she used to date, she was telling me how she did this, she ran marathons. She participated in a marathon. And she's like one of the most down-to-earth human beings. Like, it's interesting because I knew her as a friend, and because she explained how she ran marathons, to me it was just, oh, good for you, man. You know, you did some shit. But she would tell me how some guys were intimidated by that idea. And she's the most down-to-earth human being. She would, you know, it's like, dude, I fucking struggle. Holy shit. It was just something off my bucket list. Okay, it's interesting. Holy shit. I'm just remembering. Holy fuck. I'm starting to think this girl might have been coming on to me. But this girl, she was telling me, and she was hot. When we were younger, this woman that I know, freaking hot. But we were like friends. But stupid. Oh my God. Yeah. She, like, journey through puberty with this one. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. But I remember she kept saying, she kept saying, a guy like you couldn't be with a stupid woman. You need to be with a smart woman. And the thing is, I didn't consider myself smart. But so I didn't consider myself smart. I didn't understand. Like, it gassed me up. Like, oh, thanks, man. I thought it was just a friend, like, gassing up another friend. But I think, in a way, she was probably trying to say, yo, I'm intimidated by, I'm intimidated by that part about you. You know what's interesting? Yeah. You know, do you allow yourself to be intimidated by your partners? Not intimidated by your partners, but has it... I guess I'm saying, have you ever gone out dating and you looked at a dating profile and you just felt intimidated? Is that normal? Is it normal? Is it normal or acceptable? Is the fact that you're intimidated by another human being something broken in you? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. Anyways, going back to Jessie Wu, make it all about her. Yeah, I hear you, sis. I hear your sister. I mean, that's. Like, I'm no better than her. The only difference between me and her is they recorded her saying that shit. I could have been easily up there saying some shit out loud, and then the whole world internet is like, what the fuck did that nigga say? You know, it's, yeah. Anyway, all I know is I ended up with, Pudziab. All right, okay. There's more I can say about it, but, you know, this is one of those things I should have written down. But yeah, okay. All right, where are we at? Okay, hold on a second, all right? Because my fucking headphones are driving me nuts. So what I'm going to do is, excuse me, I'm going to open up this package of this battery, all right? And then I'm going to change the batteries in my headphones, all right? Okay, just give me a second. All right, but okay, I'm going to keep talking. Changing my headphone. Goddamn. Duracells keep going my ass. All right. Oops. Oh, man, these batteries are dead, too. Hold on a second. Maybe the headphones are busted. Oh, shit. Hold on a second, folks. God damn it. Woo, right beside my desk. All right, battery's right beside my desk. All right, okay, let's go. There we go. Oh my God, feels better. Okay. Okay, what happens when the battery dies in my headphones, it goes in and out. It goes in noise canceling mode, in and out of noise canceling, and just annoys the fuck out of me. And you don't like, you don't want to, you won't like me when I'm annoyed. Okay. All right. Let's go. What else do I have? Let's go right down the sheet. Le papier. Okay. All right. Okay. Back to Palestine. All right. I remember hearing this, it's called Gabriel Biller. Who's Gabriel Biller, by the way? Hold on a second. He's a senator, I guess. Gabriel Biller. That's not Gabriel. Wait, what? Oh. No. Let's see. Gabriel Miller. A man named Gabriel Miller. You know, I'm just going to play the clip of Chicago. And oh wow, it's all over the place. I don't know who he is, but I'm just gonna play the clip. First time I heard it was after recording the last episode, and I nearly added it. I nearly talked about it, but I'm like, yeah, there's too many items already on the agenda, so I'll save it for the next episode. So here we go. All right, Gabriel Miller, dropping facts about the Palestine-Israeli conflict. Here we go.
Our next speaker is Gabriel Miller.
I would like to add my voice to the chorus here today in opposition to this ridiculous resolution. At a time when the rest of the world is condemning Israel for committing war crime after war crime, Chicago is fiddling around on whether to condemn Hamas. By doing so, Chicago will be doing its part in enabling the genocide of Palestinians. And this resolution acts like it's on the side of innocent civilians. So in that case, I'd like to add, are you considering a resolution condemning Israel for what using white phosphorus against the civilian population? Are you considering condemning Israel for its planned war crime of forced removal of 1 million Palestinians from northern Gaza? Are you going to condemn them for cutting off food, water, and electricity to Gaza, another war crime called collective punishment? Did it ever cross your mind to condemn Israel when they assassinated Palestinian journalist Shireen Abu Akleh in broad daylight, or when they brutalized the people carrying her coffin peacefully, or when Israeli snipers killed innocent peaceful protesters throughout the March of Return? Did the people in office before you ever consider condemning Israel at any point since its inception when it crammed a country full of people into a 60-mile corner of their own country, creating the largest concentration camp in history, the largest open-air prison in the world? The answer is a resounding no. You never considered it, nor did your ancestors. But unfortunately for you, times have changed. The world is increasingly aware of the crimes of Israel and increasingly aware of the framework of politicians who enable their continued apartheid by resolutions such as these. Mm-hmm. And in a city like Chicago, with majority black and brown people who have experienced the apartheid-like conditions of oppression in the United States, a generation of young people have emerged who understand immediately that we have everything in common with the Palestinian people and nothing in common with the brutal Zionists under who they suffer. A generation of people who are not surprised when we find out that our politicians, up to our president, spread lies about 40 babies being beheaded in order to rationalize genocide. We're only surprised that they're forced to walk those lies back. But of course, the damage is done. People are still spewing the debunked lies about rape and massacre of babies, even here in this very meeting, when actually there's endless evidence of Israel having killed over 500 babies in the last 48 hours alone, having dropped more bombs in 24 hours than the U.S. dropped on Afghanistan in 1 year. And finally, let it be known that condemning the attack as the actions of some fringe group misses the point of what's going on. The attacks were carried out by a broad coalition of groups from every section of Palestinian society, not just Hamas. That coalition represents a people determined to attain freedom at any cost, and they have arrived at this point in the face of a broad coalition of right-wing Zionists and their supporters, like those in the city council, who would start a meeting with a prayer calling for their attempts at freedom, a second Holocaust, where are so silent you could hear a rat piss on cotton when innocent, peaceful Palestinians are annihilated day in and day out like the Native Americans of this country. If it were another time, these same people would be condemning Africans for rebelling against their slave masters during slavery, such as Nat Turner or in the Haitian Revolution. Thank you.
Wow.
That's it.
Thank you. Please.
Oh, you know what? I just found out that there is a a movement out there called Free Palestine Movement. And them niggas are, hold on a second, Free Palestine Movement. And they're like, they, yeah, they, like it's in the, it's in the, okay, according to Wikipedia, these dudes are like anti-Israel, which I can understand as some from Israel being like, and that's why I think you're fucking with us. He goes, okay, the Free Palestine Movement is a Palestine-Syrian, Syrian armed movement and community organization that is led by businessman Yasser Kashlak and supports the Ba'athist government of Syria. The organization opposes the existence of, the existence of Israel. And was mostly known for political activism. Okay, yeah. See, I see where things get complicated. All right. Yeah. See, does he mean, when they say the existence of Israel, or the state, or the people? Yeah, okay, because I initially thought they meant, okay, whatever, that's not the point. That's not the point. I'm sticking to my free Palestine message. And, yeah, I know. Like I said, the reason why this Palestine-Israeli conflict, this October 7th, got my attention is because up until that point, I was watching video clips of what was going on in Palestine, of the West Bank, the Gaza Strip. Man, we're familiar with these areas, right? Going on in those areas and how Palestinians are getting brutalized by the Israeli government. Like the Israeli government or the Israeli military are to Palestine what the police are to black people. And there's a whole bunch of abuse of power. Like, I'm watching this clip. They talked about this one journalist who was assassinated, who was killed by the IDF. Israeli Defense. Holy shit, this is becoming a political podcast. It was not my intention. Okay, focus, B, focus. What I'm getting at is, the reason why this conflict got my attention is because up until that point, I was watching this one-sided shit going on in Palestine, how the people are being brutalized. And when the attack happened on October 7th, the focus was only on Hamas and nothing in the news about everything that led up to that shit. Like, something was wrong. I'm talking like, hey, sit in the back of the bus, black guy, wrong. And I'm surrounded by people or a prime minister who's like, yeah, no, we got Israelis back on this shit. And I'm like, I mean, I get it, but can we talk about the apartheid? Yeah. Anyway, it's just, yeah. Thank you, Gabriel Miller. It's funny I can't find any information about you. Okay, at a Chicago City Council, Gabriel Miller asked, why don't you condemn Israel for its war crimes? Struggles La Lucha, socialism. Yeah, I get the feeling I'm going to end up on the list for loading this site, which I will link into. Fuck it. I'm going to link it into the show notes. I'm going to copy it. Copy it and paste it right now. Sorry, this is an article. So thank you, Mr. Gabriel Miller, for expressing what I couldn't put in my own words. Here we go. Okay. In the meantime, I'm just going to... I'm just adding a new item. I'm just editing the show notes. Okay. All right. This is interesting. Okay, I haven't read this. This is from the Toronto Star. And it goes... Canada's... Okay, let me close this shit here. Let me try to get rid of a few things off. God damn it. Bear with me, folks. I'm trying to clean up my tabs because I have this habit of having a lot of things open. There we go. Okay. Reopen. Okay. So this is from the Toronto Star. It's an opinion piece. It goes, Canada has high degree of confidence. Israel didn't strike the hospital in Gaza, Blair. All right. So I'm going to let my... How long is this article? Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm going to let my AI bot do the reading for me. And I share this because it reminded me of, I was going to say beef, an article. I'm not surprised. So let's just try to get some details from this article here. So here we go. Just a sec. And go. Oh, not again. Oh, here we go.
Canada has high degree of confidence Israel didn't strike hospital in Gaza, Blair. Ottawa has a high degree of confidence that Israel did not strike the Al-Ali Hospital in Gaza City on Tuesday after an independent review by the Canadian military, Defense Minister Bill Blair said in a statement late Saturday evening.
Oh, wow.
A Palestinian girl carries a blanket. The Hamas-run health AP photo. Ottawa has a high degree of confidence that Israel.
Oh my God. Okay, let me back up. Okay. I thought when I thought they meant Canada, they did a census on Canada, Canadians, but no, they're saying Canada's position is as follows. Okay, here we go. All right. Yeah, that's why you got to read the shit. Okay, here we go.
Ottawa has a high degree of confidence that Israel did not strike the Al-Ali Hospital in Gaza City on Tuesday after an independent review by the Canadian military, Defense Minister Bill Blair said in a statement late Saturday evening. Mm. Canada believes the more likely scenario is that the strike was caused by an errant rocket fired from the Gaza Strip, Blair's statement said.
Interesting.
The pronouncement from Ottawa came days after the United States said its own review found that Israel was not responsible for the hospital blast, which the Gaza Health Ministry said killed hundreds of people.
Who do you believe?
Article continues below AD.
Hold on a second.
President Joe Biden said during a visit to Israel on Wednesday that he was confident the other team bore responsibility. On Thursday, facing pressure to provide Canada's position on the matter, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said his government was taking all necessary steps to form its own understanding of what happened. The Canadian Forces Intelligence Command conducted its own review and analysis at the Prime Minister's request, Blair's statement said. A statement from the Department of National Defense on Saturday evening said that the analysis was based on open source and classified reporting. This assessment is informed by an analysis of the blast damage to the hospital complex, including adjacent buildings and the area surrounding the hospital, as well as the flight pattern of the incoming munition, the statement read. You might be interested in politics. I was disgusted, but for most MPs, it was just another day in the House of Commons. 2 days news.
Sorry.
Here's how. Sorry. 2 days ago, the defense minister promised the government would continue to provide updates as new information.
Ooh, holy fuck, this stupid thing, Kate. Bear with me. I'm sorry.
Reporting from Canada's allies corroborates the findings, the Defense Department added.
Okay.
The defense minister promised the government would continue to provide updates as new information becomes available and reiterated Canada's sincere condolences to all who lost loved ones in the explosion. In the wake of the blast on October 17th, Hamas had quickly blamed an Israeli military airstrike for the carnage. But Israel subsequently released images that it said proved it was caused by a misfire from Gaza. A senior French military official told the Associated Press on Friday that its own review of the intelligence also found Israel was not responsible, while the United Nations called for an independent investigation.
Right.
The latest conflict had begun 10 days earlier when Hamas militants crossed the border into Israel and conducted a series of brazen attacks on civilians. Israel retaliated, raining airstrikes down on the Gaza Strip and putting the territory under siege. Its military is said to be preparing for a ground assault. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 4,300 people have been killed in Gaza in total. More than 1,400 in Israel have been killed, most of them slain in the surprise October 7th attacks. Earlier on Saturday, the Canadian government announced it would provide an additional $50 million for humanitarian assistance in the Gaza Strip as the region's border crossing with Egypt opened to let in a trickle of desperately needed aid. International Development Minister Ahmed Hassan issued a statement from Cairo, Egypt, saying the federal government will ensure none of the money goes to Hamas. Hassan said the money will be used to provide the Palestinian population with food, water, medical assistance, protection services, and other life-saving aid. The critical and immediate needs of civilians affected by the crisis become clearer with each day that goes by, Hassan's statement said. As Canada's partners make their growing needs known, this new assistance will allow us to provide them funding quickly so they can scale up their efforts to help people in urgent need.
Right.
The pledge, on top of $10 million Canada already committed, is expected to be sent to humanitarian organizations already in the war-ravaged area. On Saturday, Hassan was attending a peace summit in Cairo with Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly. The ministers issued a joint statement saying they plan to reiterate Canada's condemnation of the Hamas attacks on Israel while also highlighting Canada's concerns over the deteriorating humanitarian situation in Gaza, which is home to 2.3 million people. We are gravely concerned by the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza, which continues to deteriorate, Joly told the meeting.
Right.
We are encouraged by the news this morning that food, fuel, and water being able to enter Gaza, but we need to see more. Just 20 trucks carrying humanitarian aid were allowed to enter Gaza from Egypt on Saturday. Aid agencies say their loads won't be enough to address the needs of the population, which is now rationing food and drinking dirty water. About half of Gaza's residents have fled their homes. Hospitals are running low on medical supplies and fuel for generators amid widespread blackouts exacerbated by waves of Israeli airstrikes. Meanwhile, Palestinian militants continue to fire rockets into Israel. Israel had insisted nothing would enter Gaza until Hamas released all the captives from its October 7th attack on towns in southern Israel. Hamas freed its first captives, an American woman and her teenage daughter, late Friday. Oh, wow. Even in times of crisis, there are principles. Even in times of war, there are rules, she said Saturday. Palestinians and Israeli civilians are equal and both must be protected. In the fog of war, it is always hard to see the light of day on the horizon, but we need to see it, Jolie said. We should not be scared about talking about the next steps. Canada will always stand up for human rights. Jolie said she plans to meet with staff at the Canadian Embassy in Cairo to discuss their efforts to support Canadians in the region, including their work to help Canadians leave Gaza. The peace summit includes dozens of regional leaders and other senior Western officials, with a focus on de-escalating the fighting and seeking a ceasefire. Tensions have been rising as the Lebanese militant organization Hezbollah has been trading fire with Israel since the war began, even threatening to join the fight if the Israeli military goes ahead with an expected ground invasion of Gaza.
Bumbleclad!
About 14,500 Canadians are registered with the federal government as being in Lebanon. Global Affairs Canada is urging all of them to get out of the country while they still can.
Fuck out.
Meanwhile, the Canadian Armed Forces is preparing for possible evacuations. Shit. More politics.
Fuck, yo, this reader sucks. This AI bot sucks. Okay, hold on a second. Meanwhile, the Canadian Armed Forces. This report is by the Canadian Press, first published October 21st. All right, okay. Shit is real in the Middle East. Shit is real. Yo, I know there was this other... article that I read about how basically describes a picture on how delicate shit is right now. It's a diplomatic nightmare going on. Hey, all right, lived long enough to see a diplomatic. That's not the point, but it's shit like things escalating. That's the fear. Israel wants to go in with ground troops, and then Lebanon Hezbollah is like, yeah, you fuck with them, we come in too. And apparently, they got a way bigger army, way organized army compared to Hamas. But that's not the point. Where I was going with this article. Actually, I didn't know where I was going to go with this article. I honestly thought I was good. It was going to say, the reality is, if you're Canadian, as a Canadian citizen, the unwritten message, the underlying message or the takeaway is, ain't no buts about it. You have to consider Hamas the bad people. And I get it. You know, terrorism. I think terrorism, but I do purposely terrorism. I say but because all of my heroes were considered terrorists. When I think about Toussaint Louverture, the Haitian Revolution, back then, to France, the established power at the time, what Toussaint Louverture was doing was illegal. The Saver Bell, I'm talking about him and all his people, and Dessalines, it was illegal. Fighting their slave owners was illegal because slavery was the top. What I'm getting at is, I'm listening. What I'm getting at is, I understand. Okay, the saying, one man's freedom, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Yeah. I get it why someone would see Hamas as the freedom fighter. Just disclosing that thought can get me in trouble in this country. I mean, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there's consequences to your actions. Like, it's not the kind of shit that I want to say at work. I don't need to, you know, we're not here to talk politics, right? I can understand that, but it's the fact that saying this, it's the fact that like there's a story in the States. Actually, no, it's not a story in the States, but for some people and some people who are in a position of power, me simply saying I can understand why Hamas would be considered a freedom fighter. To that person with power, I won't say it's within their rights, but I could see them go, use their power to be like, to punish me for saying that shit. That's what we want. Look, this is what I'm trying to get at is what bothers me about this whole Israeli-Palestine conflict. It's not looked at least the mainstream media is not looking at the situation from the perspective from a way where we could achieve win-win. No, it's only looked at from one way. Israel is the victim. Israel is the victim. Israel is the good guy. And those motherfuckers need to be shut down. Yeah, man, we gonna, you know. And oh, and the other thing, too, when they were talking about that hospital, because it's now Canada's position. I remember when that story first came out. And it was, there was someone from the Israeli camp. When the hospital was bombed, someone from the Israeli camp, in a tweet that's now deleted, posted it as, "Go us. We bombed the hospital where a bunch of Hamas motherfuckers were, a base for Hamas. It was a base for Hamas. Yeah, so there was casualty, but we knocked down some of their leadership." Like, that was the, I'm paraphrasing, but that was the message. And then later that tweet got deleted. They were like, oops. Now, some people say it's because of all the casualties, and they were like, oh, shit, we can't explain ourselves to that. But in the end, and then next, you know, it's like, yeah, no, Israel had nothing to do with that. Fucking Hamas doesn't know how to aim a rocket. Them niggas at Hamas can't, you know, it's just, my point is, apparently, the whole who bombed that hospital pretty much comes down to, who do you want to believe? Who do you trust and believe? It's going to be one of those things that people like me will not have the privilege of actually knowing the full story. But one thing I do know, I remember because the Americans were the first ones, but compared to Canada, to come out and be like, to take the position of, yeah, I know Hamas fucked up. That rocket was Hamas shooting themselves. It really had nothing to do with that. I'm like, yeah, America. Like, I'm going to trust America. The same America who wanted me to believe in weapons of mass destruction. Here's what I'm saying. I think America, United States, and Israel are like tights. They're like buddies, you know, ride or die. I don't know how far this relationship is going to go, but yeah, America's like the homie. It's like, yeah, fuck that. What's that? Israeli said they shot it. Then that's what we say. They're being homies, like, as time goes by, my eye or not. We're in this together, son, your beef is mine. Like, they roll together. And I guess Canada's like, yeah, okay, we agree with that statement too. But from what I can understand, this is one of those situations. Look, it's fucking war, folks. They're at war, right? Two people going at war. There's only one winner, the winner. And the loser dies. The winner gets to, at the end of the war, gets to decide, hey, we were righteous. We were the good guys. They were the bad guys. Anything we did to accomplish this victory was justified. Even if it's like, yeah, no, even if they had a map. Let's just say Israel had a map of that hospital being bombed. Let's say they was there, like, it's the military strategy. It's like, yo, if we bomb enough hospital, them niggas will back down. Maybe that, because that's what war is. It's like intimidation. It's we're going to keep hitting you until you drop or get until you die or yell uncle. And even if you yell uncle, we may not stop. What I'm saying is, if it does, I would not be surprised. I'm not saying that. I would not be surprised. It will bomb the hospital, but because of public perception, they were like, yeah, no, we had nothing to do with it. Well, meanwhile, we got a bunch of them motherfuckers. Like, I don't expect. When Israel said, look at me again, politics. Yeah, I got to stop. Okay. When Israel said, we're going to war with Hamas, all I heard was, fuck them kids. You know what? I'm trying to back off from the Israel. Okay, leave me back off because I realized I just turned this podcast into a political podcast, and which is not my, like, I feel like one of my the Haitian adults talking about Haitian politics, and that's was not my intention. I'm trying to explain my feelings. I'm distracted, but I'm trying to talk about my feelings, and really what I should be talking about, what I'm trying to bring up, is how much war, that's what war sucks, boys and girls. When after 9/11, and I joined in on the whole rah-rah, yeah, get them, states, get them, United States. Bomb them into bomb those brown countries. When I was like joining that, like I knew I hate war. I hate war. I mean, war is okay. I can be the most empathetic person, but I know that if I become a, if I were to be a war general, not that I would, but if I were to be a war general, I gotta make calculated costs. Like I gotta look at people. What's that saying? One death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistics. Yeah, I'm just looking at statistics. To me, it's just chess moves. If you tell me the leader of the opposition of my enemy is like chilling in that hotel, we drop a bomb and the war's over, I'm gonna take that risk. I'm gonna flip the coin. I'll flip the coin. I'm not saying a joke, but that's what these military strategists do. They make these kind of fucked up decisions that impact so many lives. They're not, they do that and then they have another department to say, yeah, clean it up in the news, make it look like it was their fault. It's war, man. One side is trying to kill the other side. And the only point I'm trying to make is, I hate how we, as a society, downplay or lie to ourselves about how ugly war is. Holy shit, I'm already at the hour mark. Yeah. Okay, I've talked way more than I wanted to on this subject. Yeah, but I just, that's what bothers me. It's like, when two countries decide to go to war, expect the fucking war. I remember when there was this article about how I think the UN is trying to decide, or they made this plan. It's like, yeah, you're not allowed using rape as a means to deter your enemy. Like you can't, rape is not a weapon of war. Says who? If you're at war with another country, the only rules you gotta play by is win. You know what I mean? Like it's not like in the fucking TV shows. I remember The Walking Dead had a lot of themes of battles, war, and how they were like, yeah, no, we can't do this. We gotta do the honorable things and blah blah blah. No, we gotta do it a different way. Yo, war is yo. I'm trying to be home by Christmas. If using nukes we'll get this shit done, then yeah, let's do this. I'm reminded, history hardcore. That's why I got that this whole notion about war sucks, man. If you look, the more you learn about war, the more you're like, yeah, war sucks. It's ugly. It's probably the most primitive thing as a human race we could have come up with. But he was explaining how the Germans, their mindset, the reason why. In their mind, it's like it'd be evil on our part to prolong the war. Nah, we ending this war, like the quicker we can end this war, the better. Which is why they're like, yo, unleash hell on these people. Because in their mind, is this is the hell that's gonna make the other side be okay, all right. Uncle, all right, let's negotiate, let's talk this out. That's the part. But they're not smart enough to realize that the other side's gonna be like, whoo, okay, nice punch, my turn. Blah, 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 back and forth. I remember when it hit me, I think I realized this. In Ottawa a few years ago, we had an occupation by the convoy. The convoy, right? And it took a while for law and order to be established for the police response, right? And when it finally happened, holy fuck, the government came back swinging. It's not that they came out swinging. The government showed up with a force. And I could tell our intention is to intimidate you motherfuckers. We really don't want to pump you with bullets because there's a lot of cameras watching. But we do want you to see that, yo, there's 100 of us with guns with one of you in that fucking truck. Like, it was sheer, it was, the intention was, we win. Ain't shit you could do, we'll find you, we got the, we outman you. Do we still say outman you? We got all the money, we got all the bitches, we got all the cars. You don't stand, like, the response from the government, I could tell that what was the plan was, we ain't fucking around. We want to remind you who runs this goddamn country, and you're leaving. And to me, that was sheer strategy. That was like, Bottom line, if there's anything I could, that last article, if I played, my intention was not to be I'm not trying to turn this into a political podcast. I'm just a guy speaking his mind. But if there's one takeaway, if you have to forget everything from what I said today, the one thing I just want you to remember is war is fucking ugly. When Israel, and I'm not saying I'm against them declaring war on Hamas, but when they said we're going to war with Hamas, all I heard was fuck them kids. Yeah, there's going to be casualty. Sorry. But we've been meaning to get rid of these motherfuckers, and we're going to get rid of these motherfuckers. Whatever, yeah. So I'm just saying, if it turns out that they purposely bombed that hospital, I'm like, I get it. I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm saying fucking war. That's what war is. I'm you know what? I'm starting to feel like Slim Charles from The Wire. That's what war is. We die on that lie. Yeah. I'm his words start to make more and more sense the more I think about it. But okay. All right. What time is it? All right. Okay. Let's go. I forget that this is a work day. All right. Okay. You know what? Last clip I'm going to play, and it's what it's called. Jon Stewart is an inspiration. Shout out to comedian Bassem Youssef. The first time I discovered him was on Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart was a white man who, in my opinion, could not do any wrong. But he's a human being, right? Hold on, let me praise him. No, I remember Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, and I loved Jon Stewart. I had it out for Jon Stewart for so much that when he left the show and he got replaced by the fuck was his name again? By, sorry, my brain is not working. It's all that weed I smoked back in the days, or recently. I said Fred Douglas. No, I'm trying to remember his name without looking it up, but I'm going to. Trevor, not Thompson. Shout out to Trevor Thompson, though. No, Trevor Noah. Oh, my God. Hey. Oops, sorry. Hey. I remember something without having to Google it. Right. So when Trevor Noah took over The Daily Show, it was a difficulty for me to let go. Because up until that point, Jon Stewart was The Daily Show. Great comedian. He was hilarious. He was smart. Anyway, yeah. So it took a while before I accepted Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah did an amazing job on The Daily Show. Don't get me wrong. Yo, perfect selection. But I'm just saying it took... That's how much Jon Stewart meant to me. Now, I bring this up because Jon Stewart is also the one who introduced me to comedian Bassem Youssef. And Bassem Youssef is on stage, and he's praising Jon Stewart, and he says some shit that I found very fascinating. Anyway, so Bassem Youssef explains how Jon Stewart was an inspiration to him. So here we go.
The military seized power from the Islamists. I called John, I said, I'm scared, I don't know what to do. The new authority is too popular, too loved. I'm scared people would turn against me and I would lose my popularity. Mm. So he said, well, you need to ask yourself, do you want to do comedy or do you want to do something that would last forever? Mm. So I went all the way, I pushed the envelope, I spoke up, and as expected, my show was canceled. Mm. People turned against me. I faced lawsuits and defamation, and I had to escape from Egypt. So, fuck you, John.
Fuck you, John.
Seriously, man. Thanks for nothing, buddy.
I don't know what happened.
I could have stayed and be a sellout, a very rich sellout.
A very rich sellout.
You had to be an inspiration.
I love that. That shit was hilarious. Yo, Bassem, the only reason I shared this clip is because Bassem Youssef was on Pierce Morgan. Fuck that nigga. Pierce Morgan. Fuck that nigga. I ain't saying his name. And he was had a clever response to Pierce Morgan was trying to do the usual. So do you know the usual talking points, West talking points about the situation between Israel and Palestine. And I'll say whatever the usual back and forth, and him as a comedian pretty much. It's like he realized, yo, everything has been said. So I'm going to say it in a way that A, makes people laugh, and B, hopefully explains the point of, which was I'm trying to get. We're not looking if the one thing I want to say about the conflict is we're not looking at it from the perspective of peace Or, okay, the kind of win that ends with a win-win solution. The mainstream media is forcing us to watch the situation from the perspective of pro-perspective of Israel, a pro-Israel perspective, meaning, hey, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. And this war only ends when the other guys shut the fuck up. Anyway, all right, okay. Yeah, so shout out to Bassem Youssef. I wish I could make jokes like that or had that kind of courage. Meanwhile, I'm going to sell out on this podcast, all right? Okay, all right, okay. All right, this concludes News and Random Thoughts. Let's jump to, I talk a lot. Fuck it. It's my podcast. All right, okay, let's jump to final thoughts, and y'all get the fuck out of here. We all get the fuck out of here, all right? So here goes. Damn, I didn't realize how much. You know, this is, okay, let's just jump, because I'm going to, it's going to be a little different, this final thought segment. Okay, what's up with the title? Okay, first I'm going to start with the question, why the fuck? I'm going to bring this up with my therapist, but why the fuck do I constantly make things more difficult for myself? So here it is, right? I'm going to, full disclosure. I hinted at that on the last episode, right? I'm trying to write an email to the good people of Black Fat Fam Podcast, the BFF Podcast, right? It's a podcast I discovered earlier this year. And every episode that I listened to makes me want to write in and say, hello, hi, love your show, I exist. Like, makes me wish I was a regular write-in. Okay, Black IO Tips, the same problem too, right? But this one here pushes me even more. And here the thing is, just like, okay, all my favorite podcasts, they have two things. Make me laugh and they get me to see the world differently or think. Get me to think, right? But this particular podcast touches on an emotion, a part of my brain, a part of me that I am not used, that's under development. It inspires a part of me that I'm still working. Okay, and that's what my frustration is, my ability to put this shit on paper, why I want to write it, why I'm saying hi. And yes, I know I'm overthinking this shit. I do know it's a problem. By the way, this is why I'm drinking coffee right now. It's because it gets my brain to focus. I had kind of promised my therapist that by the next session I would have emailed in. And my next session is tomorrow, and I still haven't written this fucking email. Okay, I tried writing the email. I put the points down, and then all of a sudden, my brain goes blank on me. I'm staring at a piece of paper and going, forgetting, like, what's the point? What am I writing? Why are we writing? What the fuck is this? Like, all of a sudden, it's a frustrating experience for me to write something. Writing to me is like exercising. I hate the experience. Fucking hate my brain. I can't get, there's a part of my brain I can't get it to shut the fuck up. It's just annoying. It's like a crying, annoying baby that I can't feed. The only thing I like about exercising and writing is the end result. Sometimes. there's been times where I went to the gym, I'm like, fuck, I didn't gain anything. There's times where I've written, I'm like, this is stupid. Or it's going to be interpreted stupid. But when the message that I wanted to write comes out, or when I have a, you know, when you go to the gym and you just have that one great session that makes you feel good? Yeah, that I enjoy. And yet, all I could get myself to think about is every time I wrote and it was in vain. Sorry, I'm frustrated. So I guess the point of final thought is to get me to think about, to think out loud what I'm trying to say to Dr. John Paul and Joho. Hold on, let me. If they were in front of me, here is where things get complicated. When I start writing, unlike when I'm on the a little different. When I'm writing, two things happen. I don't know if you've seen that. There's an image of when introvert talks versus when they think. So their thought process is very complex, and when they and then one word comes out, and they don't have the means to explain like this overly complicated. Like in my mind, there's a picture of me saying shit, expressing myself to the Black Fat Fam podcast. The two co-hosts. You know what? Let me get their names. Black Fat Fam. It's Dr. Why would you not be on there? BFFL podcast gives two of the leading queer and fat black changemakers while calling in the world to examine. Oh, that's interesting. They don't put their names on there. Oh, holy shit. Okay, hold on. Man, these guys are Apple. These folks are Apple users. I am so annoyed. I just know the co-host's name, the co-host, the other person on there is Joho, but his Joho stands for, it's short for, okay, here we go, should be on Twitter. Ooh, this was a lot. Okay, Dr. John Paul and Joho Daniels, Jesus Christ. My bad, Joho, look, man, Dr. Joho, okay, I discovered Black Fat Fam podcast through Dr. John Paul. They were on a panel, speaking on a panel at the, was it Virtuous Con? And I remember, because I was just going around collecting names of folks that were at Virtuous Con who were speaking, and I remember getting to Dr. John Paul and seeing that they were on a podcast. They were on a podcast called Black Fat Fam. And I was shocked. I didn't get it. I'm like, I was curious at the idea of two souls with male facial features on a podcast called Black Fat Femme. Like, that's what I'm trying to express. But what got me hooked to the podcast is when one of them started using the words, don't be scared to take up space. Let me put it this way. Okay, why that's a big deal for me is because the last time someone said that was my therapist. And I feel like my therapy sessions, there's these new notions on being in, like self-acceptance, forgiving yourself, taking up space, self-esteem, all these concepts are like new to me. I feel like in therapy, I'm learning about it. It's kind of like, it reminds me of math class. I'm learning trigonometry. I'm learning what's that complicated one? Calculus, all these mathematical concepts, right? But these two apply it. They're like, oh shit, this is where they're not showing off, but it's like they're living it. They live these concepts, and as a result, what got me hooked to their podcast, one is how they're applying these concepts that my therapist keeps talking about, and as a result have become inspirations into being, it's like they're inspiration into continue onto my journey to getting to know the real me. Two, they're speaking about a world that I've never heard before. Like, so it's a learning experience and I like to learn. Three, I said inspiring. What was the third one? The third one. Fuck, I should have written this thing down. Maybe I should have the conversations that they have, the shit that they talk about. It's things that fascinate everything. Every question, they ask questions, and there's a lot of thought processing going on. They ask questions that I love, that I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a great question. That gets me thinking. And a lot of what they say, talk about, are things that I usually repress, keep to myself because I usually get a negative response to those. Like going back to what I was saying, I'm not a type, I'm a frequency. Like I'm so used to hiding the real me because just out of sheer frustration of, I'm tired of explaining myself. I'm tired of it's like I feel like I have to apologize for who or what I am. It's like it's a normal state. Like everything they talk about, it's shit like, oh my, look, there was a time, it got to a point where I had to stop listening to some of their episodes. Not because I had a problem with them, it's because every episode feels like they're in front of a mic and I'm like, ooh, 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 ooh. I want to raise my hand like I'm at a session. I want ooh ooh ooh. I want to add. I want to contribute to the conversation. I want to give you feedback. I want to holy shit. I want to ask some questions. It's like it's engaging, and it got to a point where I was starting to hate myself for not writing in. So I had to because I couldn't deal with the on one end I'm enjoying the podcast, but there's inside of me there's a need. There's something in me that says, hey asshole, write in. Write the fuck in, you fat motherfucker, you ugly mother. That's why you're so stupid, because you don't want to write in. And it's so frustrating. It's imagine having something to say, but not having a voice to say it. It's frustrating. Okay, but in this case, it's I have something I want to say, but my brain, fingers are not cooperating with me. I could use my words to say it, but I could see myself editing it completely. Okay, you know what? I think I just realized what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm hoping this session turns out to. Okay, this is what I'm trying to write. Okay, and then boom. What's funny is, if this was a speech, it'd be easier for me. Because I could focus on the core message. But when it comes to writing, figuring out my core message, it's like I don't know what I want to say until I start writing. And then even when I start writing, then I get lost in what I'm trying to say. Or I overcomplicate the process. Which finally brings me, okay, which brings me to what's up with the title, If You Don't Got a Gun. That comes from a verse by Missy Elliott and a track she did, and a track by Missy Elliott featuring Jay-Z called Wake Up. And I remember the first time I got to hear that song, and when it got to the chorus, if you don't got a gun, it's all right. If you're making legal money, it's all right. If you got to keep your clothes on, it's basically, bro, if you're square, it's all right. What I love about that chorus or that part, I remember it's one of the few times in hip hop where I felt like someone's hip hop would say, you're okay. Okay, after, you know, sure. Sure, it was, you know, I got inspiration from hip-hop to be black. Yeah, sure. But when it came to being a real man, hip-hop was really not helping me with that shit. Because everyone, I'm thinking, what's that line by Drake? Car says you should quit. No, Braces says you should quit. Car says fuck your life. Like, there's a lot of showing off and hip-hop. Like, rappers show off shit that I don't, like... Did I talk about how I'm pissed off at Drake and Joe Budden? They're beefing with each other. Yeah, they're beefing with each other, and apparently, and a shot Drake took at Joe Budden was like, "I got a private jet. You get to fly first class on special occasions." And I was like, "Man, fuck both them niggas. Fuck that. I wish I could fly first class on special occasion. Man, fuck them niggas. Man, it's yeah, toe deaf ass motherfuckers." Anyway, all right. Sorry, back to the chorus by Missy Elliott for a split second had me embrace self-acceptance. It's okay to be you. And that's why I'm hooked. That's why I'm trying to write into the Black Fat Fam podcast. Because it's not enough for me to just say I appreciate your podcast. I need to explain why I appreciate your podcast. And it's because when I listen to their content, I feel like a soul is reaching out and saying, B, it's okay who you are. It's okay to be who you are. You know that shit you keep dissing yourself for? Including how you can't write a goddamn email. Focus, B, focus. Focus to write an email, it's okay. Be more patient with yourself. Be more self-accepting. That's the takeaway I get from their podcast. And I'm struggling to put that in words. And put that on paper. Maybe I should have dictaphone. Maybe, you know what? If it was a different word. Hey, listen to my podcast so you can understand why I enjoy your podcast. Yeah, listen to my 1 hour and possibly 30 minutes podcast episode so you can figure, yeah. Anyways, I'm working on it. Joho Daniels? That's his name? Queer Afro Jew, Fatty Seeking Liberation co-host. All right, interesting. It's funny how, anyway, so that's what the final thought was just about. Two things. One, to talk about self-acceptance. Two, to talk about how I'm struggling to write a goddamn email of appreciation. And here's the thing, what's annoying is, after I write, okay, day by day, focus one battle at a time. Because it's not just this email I'm struggling with. There's another one. There's several out there. It's like I feel like Elan Payne. You know what? Okay, this is just a rant against my own self about why is it so fucking hard for me to write an email? Like, the words are there. The concept is there. But yes, it feels so... Because when I write, there's a part that's, it's kind of like this podcast. I'm anticipating the, oh, that was stupid. Why'd you say that? Why are you saying it like that? Why are you using that word? Rewrite it. Restatement. It's not clear. You know, I'm self-attacking myself and it's hard to get words out. If you ain't got a gun, it's all. Today's final thought should be why writing is such a pain in the motherfucking ass. That's the thought I was trying to get at. But yeah, I'm kind of hoping that I've said enough that by tomorrow I will have written this motherfucking email, hit send, and be on my merry way. But that's it. This concludes final thoughts and also concludes today's episode. You can, for feedback, you can holler at me on these Twitter streets using @BBlizzak or @ShutUpPodcast. You can also reach out to me via TikTok, DM me on TikTok, and it's @B.Black, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. But my preferred method of contact is go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. What was that? Shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Show notes for this episode are all there. Are posted there, links, you know, all that good stuff. And you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. When I talk about that, like, I guess if you're not familiar with an RSS feed, but you got your favorite, oh, shit. That's not going to work on Spotify, is it? I got to work on that shit. And whatever, right? I'm old school. For me, when I find a podcast that I like, I use my podcast player, and I find their RSS feed, copy and paste that shit into, there's like a place where you can import or put it. When you're adding new episodes, when you're adding a new podcast, one of the options you have is adding the RSS feed. So that was very complicated. Okay, for you nerds, your RSS feed is on the website, shutuppodcast.com. What? Shutuppodcast.com. All right, third time. Shutuppodcast.com. All right, because you got to say it three times for people to remember. All right. Or if you're not that nerdy, you can always go to Google, Apple, or Amazon Podcast. Wow, that was difficult. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Please. Oh, and peace in the Middle East.
I am your king now!